talk about the importance of presence of the Lord's church in a community. As Robert mentioned, I was preaching 20 years and then got out of preaching for 20 years. That is full-time work. When I look back, I was out of the pulpit for about 9 years, moved my family to Memphis and tried to get a fresh start on back to school. When I went back to the pulpit, I worked with the congregation in Pottersville, Tennessee, in East Tennessee. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that work some tonight, and then some about our work in Tunica and Fobbins and some evangelism. So proud to have a pew full of our people from Tunica with us here tonight. I can report that the church in Tunica is alive and well and is active in our community. And we're hanging in there. And that's something to be said in today's world. As this congregation knows, it's not easy sometimes to just hang in there. But we have been fortunate. Of course, we have experienced what many congregations, older congregations have. That is those great faithful leaders and men and women that were so vital to the Lord's church have grown old, and many of them have gone on to be with the Lord, as well as Brother Giles, who rests his remains pleasant baggage room in the cemetery. We have experienced that too. Again, we have been able to replace those with some good people. We've baptized several couples. Had one family move in, and one of those couples is with us here tonight. Of course, Tommy and his son have been an important part of our leadership for many years. They came in and stuck in the very back here. But we've got some good men now that are growing in the Lord and providing some good leadership in our congregation. So I'm really proud of our work in Tennessee. And we're going to talk to them. But we're reaching some souls. And we are hanging in there pretty well, involved in our community, and look forward to sharing some of those thoughts with you. So thank you. It's good to be here, and I hope that you enjoy the few things that I will share with you. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 36, Jesus here, this is the earlier part of his ministry, says this, that really I'll back up to verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." As we look out at our nation today, we see a nation that indeed is in great turmoil and in great trouble. And the only answer for this nation and hope for this nation is that we somehow reach them with the gospel. And we need very much to be concerned about the lost. I don't know where this nation is going to end up. There's nowhere that we see that any nation is guaranteed a future. Because nations come and go, and this nation may do the same. But until that happens, it is important that we as a people remain strong and faithful and strive to reach out to people that Jesus said were distressed and like sheep without shepherds. There's a lot of folks like that out there. And what we need to do is to pray. What the Lord said, we need to pray. Pray that we will get out there, that we will get out there and reap the harvest that's there. And there is a harvest out there. It's hard to reach people with the gospel, but there is a harvest out there. Of course, these are words that very much so are meaningful to this area. We know about the harvest, and we know how important it is. That you got to get people out there to harvest it. And truly, it doesn't take as many now as it used to take. Before farm in Tunica of several thousand acres with 500 work out of Mars 10. Well, if you apply that to the Lord's church, maybe we don't have as many numbers today, but we still can be effective. We can still get out there and we can still reap the harvest of those people that are needing the gospel. And we do it. I want to suggest to talk tonight about reaching that harvest through prayer. Believe we can save the lost. I'm praying for the lost. And asking God to help lead us to those people that are receptive to the gospel. And to help us as we work with people in our own community, in our own families, to be able to work with people and be able to reach them with the gospel. And we've got to begin by praying about those people. And if we do so, I think great, tremendous good can be done. We'll share two stories with you about prayer and the gospel, and I know I'm telling my Tunica people here have heard these stories. I didn't tell them that they have already heard what I'm going to say tonight, because, you know, you don't want to do that, though. No. You don't want to forewarn a congregation of what they're going to hear. However, I hope that I know the schedule, and I hope that you saved the best for last. We'll see about that. I know you've had some great men to come and to share on Sunday nights, and I'm honored to be a part of that.
Another one too. Go ahead.
I decided to go back to the pulpit. I was still at Bob Simon. I tried to make a little bit of a living in the golf business. I tried to make a little bit of a living in a lot of different ways. I really did. But when I decided to go back to the pulpit, I made some applications from churches in the Memphis area. I've been out of the pulpit for 10 years, and I'm involved in the golf business now. But you like me to come and be your preacher. I didn't get a lot of nipples on that.
Okay.
But one congregation up in Union Chapel, a congregation in Pottersville, a little tiny community north of Dresden, up in western part of Tennessee, got an invitation to come up there and preach, and went up there a couple of times, and they offered me the job, which was on Sundays. The only one catch of that was 137.4 miles from my house. But that's where the Lord put me. And I said, we'll try this week by week and see how long that goes. And so for 4 years, I traveled 137.4 miles every Sunday, one way. Preach Sunday morning, preach Sunday night. Great little group of people, a fine, wonderful community of folks. After I've been there for a couple of years, we began looking at the congregation that we began to baptize several folks, and we began to grow some, and we had some great men. The congregation went from 40 to about 60, and we thought, well, maybe I looked around and thought, there's some men here we could possibly have elders and deacons. This congregation has been there for 50 years and never had elders and deacons. But I looked at the men that we had and I began to talk to some of the men. Well, they were reluctant to do so because of this family problem or this issue. So I began to look around and I saw, you know, if there were about five men that I could reach with the gospel, husbands and wives, sons and fathers, help alleviate some of these issues. If I could reach these five people with the gospel, then I felt like that we could really move forward. So I had these five names that I wrote down, and I began to pray about these five men. Several weeks went by, and none of these men attended services. I had met them by visiting their families and knew about them, and so none of these people attended services at all, but that was part of the problem. So I began to simply pray about these five people during the week, and I can remember praying and driving back and forth on Sundays. I always had a stretch of I-40 that was my prayer time. That stretch, good area where I can pray and drive at the same time. People can text and drive at the same time. You can pray and drive at the same time.
Okay.
few weeks, I told the congregation what I was doing. I didn't tell them the names of these five men, but I said, I have some people in this congregation that I'm praying for. You have some people in your family that need to come to the Lord, and I'm praying for those people. A young lady, a teenager, come to me after I mentioned that, and she said, Dennis, would you add two others, my boyfriend and his father? I'm studying with them, and would you add those two to your list? And I said, Kim, I'll be glad to do that. So I had seven names that I began to pray for. Lord said, pray that we could reach these this harvest. And so I began to pray for these people month after month after month. One Sunday I was up there preaching. I looked out Brother Robert, and there was like three or four of those people that I was praying for that popped up in the pew. I said, well, you know, maybe this praying will work. I think the first one I baptized was Kim's boyfriend that before baptized her, and then soon after baptized her father. And then one after the other of those five we began to see come down the aisle. One called me one day and said, oh, could you meet me in the building? I'm going to study with you. So I began to study. I can tell you that we baptized five of those men before I left there. And since then, one other has obeyed the gospel. A couple of those men now have gone on to be with the Lord. You know, we have one of the very first elders and deacons the congregation ever had. And we grew to 70 or 80 people. Was a tremendous work. Still one man that I had on that list that never came around. The prayer works. And so the question is today, who are you praying for? Who is it you're trying to reach with the gospel? And whoever it is, in your family or your neighbor, whoever it is, if you don't have somebody that you're praying for, how are you going to reach them? Because prayer works. Prayer is an effective evangelistic tool. And we don't think of it so much in that way. We pray for our sick, we pray for our soul, but we pray more in the privacy of our own closets. We pray for that person we're trying to reach with the gospel. We pray for that person. Who are you trying to reach with the gospel? Are you praying for that person? And don't give up. Jesus taught us about prayer, what that we need to continually pray. And it's like the widow that just continually went before the judge. And then the judge said, I'm going to take care of her need, not because I care anything about her, but because by her constant coming, she's going to wear me down. And so I'm going to answer her need. And Jesus says, that's the key to prayer. Don't give up on it. Keep praying, and God, when he sees that you really want this, he'll open doors for you. That's what we certainly need to do.